following are the words of Noel DiGirolamo, president of the Suffolk County Police Benevolent Association.
Police officers are already being targeted for assassination. Releasing their personal information to criminals will only further endanger them. Stand with law enforcement. Defend the police.
The following radio show is live, except for the announcement you're hearing right now.
Welcome back to Your Island Live with your host, Tom Shalero, on 1039 LI News Radio.
And once again, welcome back as we're moving right along. Again, a lot of excitement coming up. Today's our Assemblyman Day. We're starting off with Assemblyman Joe DiStefano coming into this, actually calling on, and then Assemblyman Doug Smith will be here later on in the show. I talk about a lot of different issues, but the big day is coming up. We've been talking quite a bit on our program about Sunday, October 4th, 2 to 4, over at the Denison Building, a New York police support rally. And I have to say, Assemblyman DiStefano has been a has taken a major role in putting this together. And it's becoming, and I'm saying this right now, probably one of the biggest rallies that I've seen in our area, considering the number of people that are going to be showing up and some of the big, the names of the folks that are coming are big names. That's what I'm trying to say. Fox News commentators are going to be there. And we've got Patrick Lynch from NYPD, the president of the New York City PBA, and of course our own Noel DiGirolamo, James McDermott over there at the Nassau County PBA. But let's see what Joe has to say. Joe, you excited, my friend?
My friend, I can't tell you how excited I am for this. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be, being part of the planning committee to do this, because there's so much work going into this to make sure that this event is successful. We're getting that message out there to the folks to make sure that they come. This is going to be a family event. We would like, people that come to bring their families with them, to let them know that we're all in this together, and that the men and women in blue are there to protect them, and they're there to serve, and that's what this is all about. And we just want to make them recognized. And like you said, it's like a who's who that's going to be there that day, and the work continues.
And when we think about it, we're starting to get on in the year, so the weather is going to start to change. So this could be the last big one of 2020. There's been so many great events taking place on Long Island, particularly having to do with support for the police. Because I keep saying this on the show, Joe, it's 99.9% of the American people, and particularly the folks here. I think it's almost 100% of the folks here in Suffolk County support law enforcement, support our communities, support law and order, support safety and security to everyone, including our police officers. And so you couldn't ask for a better place to have it, and at a better time to finally get it all out, so that people could finally see, for once and for all, where the American people stand on this. What made you get started in this? I mean, you really have been working very hard at it.
Well, as you know, being a retired sheriff's employee for 27 years, I've worked in it, seen it, believed it, loved it. And I just truly, truly believe that the communities that we serve, especially being in government, needs to make sure that these police officers and sheriffs and corrections officers and everybody that's affiliated in law enforcement, probation officers, you just go on and on and on. The list is forever. The bottom line is they need to know that we in government have their back. They need to know that if they go out and do their duty and they do their jobs, that there's going to be somebody who's going to sit there and support them and to make sure that they have the resources necessary to go out and do those jobs without any recourse against them. If someone decides they don't like the color of the shirt this man is or woman is wearing, that they're going to bring them up on charges of some kind of crazy thing that they want to bring them up on charges about. That's just frivolous, and we can't stand for that. We need to make sure that these guys and girls know that they're going to have somebody in government that's going to stand with them shoulder to shoulder, like I did when I was working in the sheriff's office, to make sure that they know that they have somebody on the other end of the line to know that when they need something, we're going to be there for them.
If you're just joining us, we have Assemblyman Joe DiStefano on the line with us talking about the big event coming up in a week from Sunday over at the Denison Building, 2 to 4, a New York Support the Police rally. I'm certainly going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it, getting to meet everybody that's going to be there. Joe's going to be an integral part, actually be one of our speakers. Joe, it's got to be difficult, though. Somebody with your passion, and I'll include Doug Smith with that. Doug put the August 8th event together that we were also at. But you go to all Albany, and you see them passing in the affirmative bills such as the destruction of 50A and the civil service law to expose police officers to their personal backgrounds and their personal addresses and so on, and then seeing the governor say that if you don't adopt my proposals, I'm going to defund 500 police departments across the country, across the state of New York. I mean, I know you guys are in the minority, but it's got to be difficult and to the point that How do you understand it? Because I don't understand it from sitting where I am, Joe.
Well, again, you know, to me, it's about advocacy. You know, you're right. We're in the minority, but we do get our word out there. And people in our communities know where we stand on the issues. And you know, I look around to everybody else who supports the men and women in blue, and they have the support of their communities. The ones that don't, the ones who, you know, they have credibility issues when it comes to what they say and what they do, is a big thing. And, you know, you got to put your money where your mouth is sometimes. And, you know, when someone says something to me, I take them at their word that what they're telling me is true. But, you know, to me, it's all about credibility and where you stand on the issues. And if you're floundering about certain things, better take the stand of, you know, I'm not sure how I'm going to go on this. Or, you know, I'm not 100% behind what's going on. I just know in my community, when we go out and we knock on doors and when we reach people by phone or however we do it, the number one issue, Tom, the number one issue is their community and the being protected by the law enforcement. They don't even talk about COVID anymore. They don't talk about taxes. They don't talk about a lot of things that we're used to when we're knocking on doors in previous years, where things like that would be major league important to them. This is, without a doubt, the number one issue in our communities today. They want to make sure that their communities are safe, and that's why we are standing where we're standing and why we stand with the men and women in blue, because they're the ones that make that protection happen.
You know, it's almost hard to believe that it's almost become, and I hate to say this because I love doing the show, I love trying to be fair and balanced, I invite a lot of Democrats on and Republicans on and so on, but I can't escape it any longer. I know when I ask a Republican how they feel about the defunding of the police or how they feel about keeping protection such as 50A and how they feel about protecting our police officers legislatively, I know if I ask the Republicans that, they give me the answer. They give me the answer that I think 99.9% of the folks. When I asked some of the Democrats, I'm not exactly sure what that answer is going to be. And in some cases, the answer is circling. They don't answer it. They answer another question, which is a very interesting ploy that many politicians take, is that if you don't want to answer the question being asked, just answer another question. But if you have half a brain, you could realize that they're going to do that. Has this become, in your mind, a partisan issue?
I hope not. As I mentioned on your show the last time I was on, and I always appreciate being on your show, everybody's welcome. You know, I'll take the thing of Moses back in the day when he was, you know, saving everybody. He said, listen, those who thirst for freedom, feel free to join in. And that's how I feel. I'm not saying this is a partisan. This should not be a partisan issue. This is probably one of the most nonpartisan issues you should have in our community, is to make sure that our communities are safe. So why you're getting the runaround answers from the other side, I'm not sure. But by all means, as I mentioned on the last time I was on your show, is that if you're a Democrat or any other affiliation and you want to participate, by all means, you are all welcome. This is not a closed-door club. Everybody is welcome who believe in the freedoms and believe in protecting our community.
And I think that's well said, and I'm hoping that it turns to that. I would like to see Democrats there. Of course, we're going to see a lot of Republicans there, and it's so important that everybody shows up. I know there were some Democrats here in Nassau County, in Suffolk County, the what they call the Long Island Six, the state senators, that kind of pulled a fast one on law enforcement, said we would never support the repeal of 50A, and they told that to many law enforcement leaders, and they went against it. They got to Albany. They had to remember what they promised the folks down here in Nassau and Suffolk County, but they went up against it. And that's kind of what gives people a bad taste when it comes to politics. You know, many people think of politics as a dirty word. I think of it as a good word, as a way in which we could compromise and get things done. But unfortunately, that's what took place with some of our elected officials. And now we have to see whether the voters are going to say, well, you voted against my interests. And, you know, this is a we're in a politically charged time right now, Joe, and that's why I bring this up. I think if it was 6 months from now, I probably wouldn't be talking politics with you or election campaigns and so on. But somehow, what's taking place with these Back the Blue rallies and so on. It's got to be part of what's at the ballot box and how people are going to react to the ballot box. Joe, what say you?
I just, as I said earlier in the show, is that to me, it's about credibility. You know, when you ask me a question, I'm going to give you the answer. You may not like the answer, but I'm going to give you the straight answer. I wasn't privy to any of those conversations that went on, and obviously I can't speak to any of the other senators as to what their conversations were with the law enforcement community. But I will say that if that is in case is true, then they have to deal with the consequences of the actions if that is indeed what happened. You only have credibility in this business if you stick true to your word. If you're going to sit there and tell somebody you're going to do something and you do the opposite, where is your credibility? People will never believe anything you have to say. This is a major issue, but what happens if it's not as major as this? What if it's something on a smaller scale and you tell somebody that you're going to do something and then you just do the opposite? They're never going to believe you. I don't care how hard you try to convince them that the answer you're giving them is the true answer. They're not going to believe you. And I think that's what happened, if that's in case what did happen.
I don't know if you read about some of the proposals. I know you're involved in state government, and Governor DeSantis down there in Florida put together his legislative proposal that's going to be considered by the state legislature in Florida, similar to the state legislature in New York. These people have a kinship with you guys, but what a world of difference between Governor DeSantis and Governor Cuomo. DeSantis put out mandatory jail terms if you throw something at a police officer, if you're rioting in the streets, or you're harassing people having dinner like we've been seeing all across New York State and New York City. This will now become a crime, a felony, and he's being cheered in Florida for what he's doing. Is it almost like a tale of two cities on polar opposites? And is there any way that New York could someday, somehow, rise up and start to do what's right, Joe?
Well, there's the difference between a Republican-led state and a Democratic-run state. Those who believe in law enforcement and things of that nature to protect our law enforcement community, and then there's those that don't, and that's the state we live in. Unfortunately, and it's a numbers game. And when the city of New York pretty much runs the state with 65 assembly members, with 63 of them being Democrats, and then you have the sporadic throughout the rest of the state being mostly in the Democratic, in the inner cities and things like that, unless you elect people that believe in the same things you believe in, and that's the Republican ideal, the ideology of what law enforcement is and what it means to our communities, unless that resonates throughout the state. And I think, you know, people may be surprised about what's going to happen this year, because I think people are fed up with the way this state is operating, and we all know why the state is operating this way. Because who's in office, and they may decide that they want to change. And I'm talking about people who, even on the other side of the aisle, are tired of all of the nonsense that's going on in this state. You know, you can go on and on and on about the list of craziness that happened in the last 2 years that I've been there. So I'm thinking that you're going to see a change. It may not be the numbers we need, but it's definitely going to be a start, I believe.
Once again, Assemblyman Joe DeStefano calling on, talking about the great event taking place this October 4th, a week from Sunday. Joe, you have a great day, and stay busy out there. You're doing a lot of great things. We appreciate it.
And Tom, I thank you, and I really appreciate you, you know, emceeing our event. You were the first person I thought of when this was coming together. So, you know, thank you again for everything you do for the law enforcement community and everything you do for the listeners out there, because I know your show is well listen to, and people really believe that you're doing the right thing by the people that we serve.
And my pleasure to be there next Sunday to MC. I get to see everybody, and we get to talk, we get to put it out there, and we're going to have a lot of fun. But at the same time, we're going to express our First Amendment rights on the importance of backing our police officers, and that's the most important thing. Joe, thank you very much, and we'll see you again. We'll see you next Sunday. Appreciate it.
All right, Tom. Thanks again for everything you do.
Thank you. Our number here is 631-451-1039, talking about, obviously, the event October 4th, but also what's taking place on our streets again. There were a number of cities that had some problems yesterday. I believe the Williamsburg Bridge yesterday was blocked by what people are calling peaceful protesters. But I'm almost starting to debate now this concept of peaceful protester. Does peaceful protester now mean the absence of violence, shootings, clubbings, or beatings, and also the absence of arson? Is that now a peaceful protest? Because what took place at the Williamsburg Bridge yesterday was pretty horrific. You had a crowd of about 1,000 people that said, okay, we're going to peacefully protest, and what's the way to do it? Shut down Manhattan. Now, is that a peaceful protest? I mean, I'm starting to think that, because now the media has now attracted themselves to the issue that people are peacefully protesting, but at the same time, they're disrupting lives. So I look at the balance there. A person that had to get home or had to get to work couldn't do it yesterday if you happened to jump on the Williamsburg Bridge and we were trying to get across because there were 1,000 people that were blocking it. And the police had a difficult time trying to clear or try to get the traffic through. And you know as well as I know, driving in that area, and just about all of us have driven in that area, it is like Nightmare City when it comes right down to it. So you couple it with the fact of the streets being gridlocked by people, quote unquote, peacefully protesting. So what could be the best definition of a peaceful protest? I would think that people should afford that right, but it has to be a right that you have in order to make your point of view so that you don't infringe on the rights of another person. You don't infringe on the right of the person to go to work or to get home for dinner or to go to an appointment or go to a meeting. That person has a right to do that, whether it's commerce, business, whether it's education, school, whether it's living, and the quality of life, living in a city that you want to live in, although many people aren't living that way. So that cannot possibly be a right of that person whose rights are being infringed because others want to protest what took place in terms of the lack of indictments in the Breonna Taylor case. Anthony from Coram. Anthony, what say you?
Hey, Tom, how are you? Haven't spoken to you in a while.
Yes.
I think we all got to look at the problem this way, and it is a problem. It's the whole nation and society is a problem, and unfortunately, the cops getting a bad rap. And we really got to look past the issue that everybody's focusing on, systemic racism and this false narrative, and really look at what the problem is. Okay, most of these rioters, no matter where you look, okay, obviously they're people with a lot of time on their hands. Okay, I'm talking about not the people that get flown in and organize the group. I'm talking about the people that are incited to riot. And the bottom line is they don't have any skin in the game. What I mean by that is they have no family structure, no education. Okay, they have no ownership. They don't own a business. They don't have a real career. They probably have zero savings. They have no vision. They have no sense of purpose. They don't have a future. So they can be incendiary and explode everything, blow it up. The reason is they don't have it, so they don't want you to have it, you see. So they're really blaming you for not getting the same things that you have. They fail to realize how they got it. Now, at root is what the Democrats have been feeding them for years. Public programs and a bunch of money for nothing. Okay? So, therefore, they're going to wheel in the money in wheelbarrows, and that's what the Democrats have been doing. So we really need to help these people, okay, and not really target them either. We need to lift them up and figure out how we're going to fix them. And hopefully, when Trump comes in, he'll do that, and that will take the pressure off the police.
You know what you're saying, Anthony, is 100% right on. I don't believe it's systemic racism. And by the way, did you see the age groups of these people out on the streets at the Williamsburg Bridge? What, 17 to 20? 17 to 21? Probably? Maybe 16? They're exactly what you said. What do they know? They think what, I don't know what they think. I can't get anybody to talk.
You don't want to be in their position. We don't want to be in their position. These are kids, young adults, maybe like about, our country is about 12 million of them, fatherless kids. They have no purpose, no future, no guidance. There is a tsunami waiting to happen. And the Dems, like leeches, feed off of them. They use them, okay? They get their vote. They give them nothing. Like Baltimore and cities like Chicago and now New York, we use them. The Dems use them. Cuomo uses them. They all use them and deliver zero. Now, the Republicans, they better start delivering. They're missing out on a big opportunity. We have a once-in-a-lifetime situation here, and they better not screw it up.
Yeah. Okay. And that seems to be what's happening.
Crush the police down, and every other semblance of culture will go right down the toilet if we don't fix it.
So, Anthony, thank you so much for getting up to a commercial break. Always a pleasure to hear from you, Anthony. Thanks for calling in. I'm your host, Tom Shalero. When we get back, Assemblyman Doug Smith coming into the studio. We'll take some phone calls right up to the 2 o'clock hour. I'll be right back.